This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open-line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now, with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
It's no secret that families and marriages are under stress today. In a recent newsletter from one of the pastors in Dallas, Texas, Skip Ryan, he says, "We're no longer covenant keepers. So even in Dallas County, the buckle of the Bible Belt, with widespread church attendance, the divorce rate is approaching 60%. He says, "Dear friends, this ought not so to be." Marriage is on God's mind, and He has your marriage on His mind, believe it or not, and He wants you to be successful. But in order for you to be successful in your marriage, we have to humble ourselves under His mighty hand and do things His way. I trust that as a result of today's program, you are going to be greatly encouraged with your marriage, whether you're having a good marriage or a struggling marriage. Remember, marriage is not about finding the right person as much as it is being the right person. And so today we're going to talk about that. I'm so glad that you've joined us. It's Conversation with Ever-Increasing Conviction, talk that transforms. And if there's any area in our lives we need transformation, it's in the area of our marriages, isn't it? When you have a city, Dallas, Texas, that among two or three others, including Colorado Springs, is deemed to be an evangelical mecca, that is, a great concentration, more so than other cities in the nation, of so-called Bible-believing evangelical Christians, and you've got a divorce rate of 60%, you know our nation is in deep, deep trouble. And so today on Viewpoint, we talk about what very well is the most important practical life issue and spiritual issue that America has to deal with, and very likely that you have to deal with it. This is going to be intensely practical. We have a special pair of guests joining us who, after 44 years of marriage, are attesting to God's miraculous work, but it wasn't always that way. It wasn't a pretty picture, my friends. And we're going to hear an amazing testimony here today on Viewpoint, so stay tuned. I want you to know that all over this world, we have people that are listening to this program. It never ceases to amaze me. Here, Viewpoint is sponsored by Save America Ministries. We're focusing on issues that are deeply touching the American heart and home, and particularly the church house here in this country. But do you know what? People around our world are as concerned about America as we are. In fact, maybe more so. In fact, just in the last few days, on our guest book, on Save America Ministries, our internet guest book, we have received a number of people signing on, and nearly half of them are from outside this country. For instance, Guyana and Costa Rica, Nigeria and India. We've had responses from Moscow and the United Kingdom and Ireland and South Africa and Australia. It's just astounding. People all over this world deeply concerned about America and finding the issues that we deal with right here on Viewpoint to be just as relevant in their countries as in ours. Isn't that amazing? Well, we're so delighted that people from all over America and around the world are listening to this program. And I want to urge you to advise your friends and Romans and countrymen and so on, wherever they are in the world, whether they're missionary friends, maybe you've got someone, a friend that's serving in the military in Iraq. It really doesn't matter. We have people in the military in Iraq listening to this program. So tell them about it. They can listen right on the website, saveus.org, www.saveus.org. Any time of the day or night, anywhere in the world, even going back up to 60 days on the archive section of the website. So tell them about it, and I think they'll be blessed just as you are. Well, today, we are going to be talking about, with a pair of guests. I met these fine people a couple of months ago as I was asked to go to Pennsylvania for a speaking engagement, small group of people up there. And as I got up there and we were talking to there, I was immediately attracted. You know, you just have this sense when you meet certain people that there's a heart connection. And I made a heart connection with our special guest here today, and even more so when I heard their story after that speaking engagement. I want to welcome to Viewpoint Paul and Betty Blyler from Pennsylvania. What a blessing it is. Paul, you're the man of the house. Let me get you going first. Paul, I think you've been married 44 years. Isn't that correct?
It has been 44 years, yes.
But things weren't always pretty in Glacamora, were they?
No, I'm afraid not, Chuck.
When did you first meet?
I first met Betty just about 3 months before we were married.
Wow, a shotgun wedding.
And it was a shotgun wedding indeed. And until that time, why, I was having a lot of fear in my life. I wasn't sure of myself, and I was a mess, and she wasn't much better, and we met on a beach.
Ooh, now wait a minute. To say that she wasn't much better, you were attracted to her, weren't you?
I was very attracted to her, yes, indeed.
What attracted you to Betty?
Well,
besides her pretty looks.
Her beauty was a big attraction.
Uh-huh.
But just the fact that she would talk to me and make me feel like a person.
I bet there was something. I bet, Paul, there was something about her personality that complemented yours, and you saw that, and it was very attractive to you.
Yes, it was.
Well, Betty, how about you? What did you see in Paul?
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, I talk to everybody. So that was why I was talking to Paul. I didn't really care for him very much. But he gave me lots of attention, and I was a young girl. I was only 17 years old at the time, and I think it's probably normal for most 17-year-old girls to like lots of attention.
Oh, yes, so that's for sure.
I had this young man who was showing me lots of attention, and it was summertime, so he took me anywhere I wanted to go.
And that, love was in the air.
That was my attraction.
Well, and 3 months later, you were hitched at the hitching post.
That's right. He is a very quiet, low-key fella, and anybody who knows him now can't imagine how much in a hurry he was to get married.
Mm. Well, I think, you know, I've read a little bit of his story, and he was afraid that if he didn't latch onto this young frisky filly that seemed to be giving him so much attention, he may never have another chance.
Well, that's so. And another thing which I may or may not have mentioned was I was fearful, really fearful, of being drafted at that time.
All right, well, we want to pick up on all of this right after the break. Friends, it's an amazing story. It's a beautiful story, and it may just resemble yours. We'll be right back with you after this break. Please don't leave us. You're listening to Viewpoint. Viewpoint does determine destiny. We have some wonderful materials to make available to you to strengthen your marriage today, so stay tuned. Thank you for joining us here today on Viewpoint. Again, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and today we're taking a look at how we can strengthen our marriages. We have a special story here. Two very special guests joining us here on Viewpoint, dear friends that I actually was able to make friendship with in Pennsylvania just a couple of months ago as I went there for a speaking engagement, and this fine lady, Betty Blyler, had welcomed me, in fact invited me to join their group up there, and we just had a very, very special day, all day Saturday, with a seminar dealing with the issues of our time. And as we talked and she listened, and some of the folk there in that room listened, she began to open up concerning her own marriage and her own story. And she likes to say it's the story of her hero, Paul Blyler, her husband. Paul, how does it feel to to know that your wife is thinking of you as a, her hero.
It feels great. And it's all because of God's grace and God's mercy upon our lives. He's been so good to us.
Well, Paul, when you think about it, you've already indicated that your life was literally paralyzed by various kinds of fears.
Yes,
you were afraid of everybody else. You were afraid of yourself, just about afraid of your shadow. And along comes this frisky filly that gives you some attention at 17 years of age. And you're going to grab on to what you can. And she says she didn't love you, but she just appreciated some interest there. And so the two of you in a shotgun wedding get married after just 3 months.
That is so.
Then what?
Then the problems started.
Almost immediately?
Almost immediately. The money problems were great. And the fact that Betty was so young and I pretty much snatched her away from being a typical teenager and having all the fun of the teenager.
Well, how old were you at that time?
I was 20.
You were 20 and she was 17.
She was 17.
Mm.
And then we had our first child soon after that when she was 18. And, of course, raising a baby on the very little amount of money that I was making was really a struggle. And so we had financial problems,
mm-hmm.
and the problems of having a baby in the house and us being practically no more than babies. And so the argument started and the tension started in the house.
Well, Paul, a lot of people would say, oh, well, you know, we're just young. We just got married too young. We didn't know what we were doing. And so let's just get divorced and we'll just find somebody else. We'll give it a couple of years and find somebody else. That wasn't the tack you took, though, was it?
No, it wasn't.
That was my idea.
That was Betty's.
Oh,
it almost happened.
Betty, was it? What was your thinking?
I just knew that I didn't love him and I couldn't be happy, and I felt that the only way I could be happy was to get away from him and start a new life with my little girl.
You felt imprisoned, didn't you?
I did. I felt totally captured and I didn't feel like a full person myself. Now, I will say at this time that his parents, who were believers in Christ at that time already, nurtured mm-hmm. us and loved us and tried very hard. And they prayed for their son, who was a wayward son at the time. They prayed for him to find a Christian wife. And he didn't find a Christian wife.
Well, wait a minute. You were going to church? He said, your husband told me that you were going to church every Sunday, faithfully.
Perfect attendance for 18 years.
And you weren't a Christian.
And I was not a Christian.
How could that be?
Well, I didn't listen to the wooing of the Holy Spirit, I believe, because I think there were times when I did hear the gospel, but then sometimes I didn't in the church I was going to, or I didn't understand it. It just wasn't real to me. I was a very independent person and sort of thought I was going to make it on my own.
Hmm. Well, how about Paul? Was he a churchgoer when you met?
No, I wasn't. When I was a boy in the Boy Scouts, as a matter of fact, we went to see a Billy Graham film.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I had gone forward and asked Christ to come into my life. But along the journey, I yielded to peer pressure and whatnot, and I really drifted away.
Backslid, huh?
So at that time, I was really alienated from God. I didn't want anything to do with him.
In fact, you were just going to church to please your wife, weren't
you? I was going to church to please Betty, yes.
In fact, you went to church before you got married just to attract her, didn't you?
Yes, pretty much so.
That's true. He did.
Yeah.
I must say that he tried lots of things to please me, and I'm embarrassed to say, but it's true. There was nothing he could do to please me.
Well, wait a minute. You married him? What do you mean he couldn't please you?
I married him because he was pushy. He sort of pushed me into a corner and made me feel like I was a hypocrite or a liar or something if I didn't marry him.
Mm. Well, this matter of marriage is serious business, isn't it, Betty?
It is. And he told me right from the very beginning that divorce was not in his vocabulary.
Really?
Yes, he did.
Wait a minute. Before you ever got married, he told you that?
Yes, he did.
That's incredible, isn't it?
Yes, I just thought that something would happen that I wouldn't have to go through with the wedding even after I said yes and took his ring. I thought maybe the pastor would faint or something and the wedding wouldn't have to happen.
But it did happen,
but
didn't it?
But it did, and I was married and felt trapped.
What were the thoughts going through your mind, Betty?
I have to get out of this. I have to get away. And I did leave him. I went to my parents' home, and they said, you can only stay here a short time because you either go back to your husband or you get a place of your own.
Mm.
So he made the invitation. It was close to Christmas time, and he made the invitation too good. He said, come back for Christmas for our little girl's sake, and then you may leave again.
Wow. Paul, what was going through your mind then?
What was going through my mind was absolute terror and horror. To me, it was just another indication that I was a failure, that I couldn't do anything or I couldn't please anyone.
Which was the same problem that had been tyrannizing you that caused you to go into the shotgun wedding in the first place.
That is so. Mm-hmm. Yes, that is so.
Wow. And so here you are. You're married now. Betty's feeling imprisoned. She leaves with the daughter. And you've invited her home for Christmas. Then what, Betty?
Well, after Christmas, I was ready to go. But Paula had already mentioned to you the money problems, mm-hmm. and we both had a job to try to keep the cars running, but the cars both gave up. It was a transmission and an engine, and we had to get rides to work, but Sunday came, and we couldn't go to church. And that devastated me that I couldn't go to church. Even though I was living this double-sided life, I had to be in church. And Paul's parents said, you can go with us. Hmm. So we went along with them in their vehicle, and I heard the scripture about being a sinner, and I was very much offended. But through a series of going back, the cars not getting fixed and having to go back there, we eventually went there voluntarily. The pastor and his wife became friends of ours. They befriended us, of course, while they were teaching us the gospel. And in 8 months of terrible conviction on my part, I yielded to Christ and let him be my Savior. And at that point, I felt, I had resisted, by the way, because I just instinctively knew that if I believed in Christ, he would make me stay married. And I still didn't want to stay married, so I resisted for 8 months. But
wow.
It just got worse and worse and worse. And when Jesus saved me, I said, I will obey you. I don't love Paul, but I will obey you, and I will stay married.
Wait a minute. Betty, this is so foreign to thinking today. We're told that we need to obey our feelings, that if we don't feel love towards someone, God, there must be somebody better for us, and we can just kind of divorce our spouse, leave them like an old refrigerator, and just get a new one.
It makes me sad that that's going on in our world today, and there have been some couples we've been able to talk to, sometimes successfully and sometimes not successfully, because we do live in a very selfish world, and I admit that I was very selfish and mm-hmm. certainly still have some self-indulgence, but it's just a matter of whether you're going to obey God or not.
So the reality was that until Christ got a hold of your life in true repentance, true conviction, and you were converted, even though you had been going to church, your mindset was, well, if I don't love him, I'll leave him.
Exactly.
And you felt okay in doing that.
I certainly did.
But then you were converted. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit reveals something about God's will and his word to you about your marriage.
That's correct.
How did that happen?
Well, as I said, I knew that if I believed in Christ as my personal Savior, He would want me to obey His Word.
Mm-hmm.
And being in church all those years, I did learn a lot in His Word. So some of those things came back, and I knew that I would need to obey, and I resisted that greatly. But at the time when I could no longer refuse His wonderful gift of salvation, He did remind me that there are some standards in His Word. And as I said, I told Him, and I meant it with all my heart, I will stay married to Paul because this I know is Your will.
Hmm.
And shortly after that, Paul started to change. Can you imagine?
Wait a minute. You're converted, but Paul's changing. Paul, what happened?
May I just take you back to the night when Betty went forward to receive Christ?
Sure.
The Lord worked it out that I had that night off and that I could go along to church with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard the message, and I had terrible, deep conviction. And so when the altar call came, Betty got up and was walking forward to receive Christ, but she didn't know that I was right behind her.
Hmm.
And we both knelt at the altar of prayer, and I asked Christ, please forgive me, please come into my life.
Mm.
And I've never had more than two revelations of God in my life that it was so visible, I mean, so deep.
Mm-hmm.
But it came to me, you had received me when you were a boy,
mm-hmm.
but you've drifted away.
And now you're coming home.
Now you're coming back and getting it right.
Mm.
And I really believe it was prayer of my parents all those years.
Wow.
That God answered their prayers.
Well, friend, there is a song called Coming Home, Nevermore to Roam. And that may resemble your life, and it's time to come home, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who knows what will happen? We'll be right back with you and Paul and Betty Blyler in a few moments. We have much more to talk about. Stay tuned. America is in a shocking retreat from marriage. Households headed by unmarried partners grew 72% as of the U.S. Census in 2000, just in the last 10 years. It's just amazing. Nuclear or intact families fell below 25% of all households. 46% of married couples versus 43% of unmarried couples are raising kids. The trend is still climbing for unmarried couples, but is declining for married couples. Cohabitation has increased 1,000%. Marriage among black women declined from 62% to 31% since 1960. And by age 31, half of American women have cohabited. It's just incredible, the state of the marital union. Divorce has just devoured us. It's just amazing. In the year 2005, 33% of born-again Christians had divorced their spouses, a rate statistically equal to their non-Christian and pagan counterparts. 90% of all divorces among professing Christians occurred after they came to Christ. 35% of Americans who have ever married have divorced. The figure is the same for Christians. 23% of born-again Christians have divorced two or more times. And for every 100 new marriages, 51 end in divorce. Something is desperately wrong, isn't it? Joining us today on Viewpoint, a very special couple, Paul and Betty Blyler. I met this couple a couple of months ago in Pennsylvania. Betty had asked me to come and speak to their particular group, and our hearts were knit up there, and I was able to hear their story, which is both a heart-rending but rejoicing story, and it's a testimony to God's mercy, His grace, and also to their obedience. And so let's get back into that story. Each of you had been churchgoers, but Paul, you went reluctantly before your marriage. You didn't much care for it, although you had come to Christ early on when you were a Boy Scout. Then after you became a Girl Scout, following Betty. You were a reluctant camper going to church. You did it just to please her, but Betty was an inveterate churchgoer but didn't know the Lord. Is that right, Betty?
That is so.
That's correct.
Didn't know the Lord at all. It just seems impossible that somebody can go to church year after year, just dedicated church going, and still not have come to a knowledge of the truth and submitted to Christ in his ways. But that's what you said. And now the story is that after you got married in a shotgun wedding, 3 months going together, and Paul pressured you to get married, you didn't even want to get married, Betty. You didn't even like Paul that much and certainly didn't love him. Is that right?
That's correct. Now, I did like his parents and his family very
much. Oh, you liked his parents. Well, that's good. Well, they apparently liked you, too.
Well, they are an encouragement to parents today to pray for their children, because they prayed for their wayward son to find a Christian wife.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not bring home a Christian wife.
But they thought so because you were a churchgoer.
Well, they knew that I was not truly a believer.
Mm.
And I talked to them about that years later after I did come to Christ. I said, you must have been terribly disappointed when your son brought me home.
Mm-hmm.
They said, Betty, we were never disappointed in you. We loved you from the very beginning.
Wow.
And they showed that to me.
You know, they must be very fine people. And in the course of your terrible problems there in the marriage when you left, they hung in there faithful and true. They didn't encourage you in the leaving, but they were there and remained loving and faithful, didn't they?
This is true.
Mm. You know, I think it seems to me that if there were more parents who, instead of coming alongside and trying to encourage their kids to follow their feelings, if they would just encourage them to walk in faith, it might go a lot further. What do you think?
That's an interesting thing in our case, because I was walking a wayward path and a rebellious path at this point,
mm-hmm.
and his parents were talking to him about how to be a better husband.
Really? Paul, tell us what they were saying.
They were saying, I'll let him tell you, you should take care of this girl.
Yes, they were telling me that I was doing a lot of things that a husband shouldn't be doing towards his wife. And so they led me along the way, and they kept encouraging me. And it didn't do much good until the Lord found me.
Well, he reached out and tugged at your heart in the context of a meeting. You had gone to a church service because your car wasn't working, and you had to go to another church, and because you went to that church, your car wasn't working, it put you in a position to hear a message you had not heard before. Is that right, Paul?
That is so, and it was all arranged by God.
You know, sometimes we think that, you know, the negative circumstances that happen are so terrible and our car goes bad and so on.
Yeah.
But maybe lurking in that seemingly negative circumstance is a silver lining. What do you think, Betty?
Sure.
You think there might be a silver lining there, Betty?
Yes, there is a silver lining. And you asked me a while ago about my image of him and how he changed. After I became saved, I said, he changed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, what changed was my image of him.
I see.
He always was persistent and steadfast, and I started to admire some of these qualities in him and to see what a precious man God gave to me.
Mm-hmm.
So when I jokingly say he changed, he might have changed a little bit because, well, maybe a lot. He came closer to Christ, of course,
mm-hmm.
but I was the one who changed, and my attitude toward him changed.
Isn't it amazing oftentimes, Betty, that the very things that we are attracted to in people end up being the things that aggravate us the most? And yet when God gets a hold of us and we begin to walk in humility and allow his spirit to begin to govern, it takes a lot of the rough edges off those negative aspects, doesn't it?
That's right. And I heard someone say one time that if both couples, both people in the marriage would be alike, one isn't necessary. And
that's pretty good.
That's why I guess the opposites attract. We mm-hmm. are attracted to some qualities that maybe are weak for us, and we're attracted to those qualities in someone else. And, of course, I didn't recognize or care about these qualities in Paul before I committed my life to Christ and became obedient to what it was that he was asking me to do.
Well, you keep mentioning this word obedient, and in the last portion of the program, I want to follow up on that with some greater detail, because this seems to be a key. I remember, I believe it was the Apostle Stephen or Peter, I can't remember, the book of Acts, who said that God gives the Holy Spirit to those that obey him. And this seems to be a missing link in our culture today, particularly when it comes to our marriages. We follow our feelings rather than the faith. We're obeying the culture rather than Christ. And we want to look a little bit more into how you did that and what went through your mind and heart as you began to walk that out. Friend, I want to make available to you a couple of books that I think are going to help you. One is entitled, it's brand new, it's called One Marriage Under God, Building an Everlasting Love. It's a hardbound book. Your gift of $17 or more to Save America Ministries, that's $17 or more to Save America Ministries, we'll put it in your hands. Brand new, One Marriage Under God. I know that's what you want your marriage to be. Just give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA. And the other book is entitled Till Death Do Us Part. This is so critical, those very words, because I just say in the last segment of the program today, Betty and Paul are both going to attest to the importance of those words in keeping them together at a time when their feelings screamed to the contrary. Till Death Do Us Part. That book is available to you for your gift of $14 or more to Save America Ministries. It's been spread all over the world, Till Death Do Us Part. Call us on either one of those books, One Marriage Under God, $17, Till Death Do Us Part, $14. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879. Richmond, Virginia, 23255. If you're writing a check, at $350 for postage and handling. Also want to direct you to our website, particularly where our fact sheets are located, right there on the front, home page of the website. We have fact sheets. You click on that, it'll take you to a whole series of fact sheets. One is called Ministry, the State of Ministry, Marriage, and Morals. The other is called the State of the Marital Union. These will be very helpful to you. And for, if you're African-American, the Portrait of the Black Family, all of those very helpful right on our website, saveus.org. That's www.saveus.org. We'll be back with you after this break. Please don't leave. Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. It's conversation with conviction, dialogue that demands our decision as we're talking today about our marriages. Our special guests, Paul and Betty Blyler, talking about their 44 years of marriage, but it wasn't a pretty picture to begin with. In fact, it was anything but. It was a shotgun marriage. She was 17. He was 20. She married him because he pressured her to get married. He married her because he was afraid. He was afraid that he'd never find somebody else because his whole life was paralyzed with fear. And then God, by his Spirit, through an amazing set of circumstances, got a hold of each one of them. And the rest is history. They're here to share their story. What a beautiful story it is. Now, Betty, when you began to get back together and the Holy Spirit had gotten a hold of your heart, you were converted, you received Christ as your Savior, and you said that he convinced you that his word, his will, and his way was that divorce was not an option. Is
that
correct?
Correct. With Paul, divorce never was an option, but that was something that I had wanted until after I was drawn to the gospel of Christ by his power. In my home as a child, I was taught to obey. I had a very good home, and I was taught to obey. Children should learn to obey.
Mm-hmm.
And as an adult then, at the point when I came to Christ, I knew that I needed to obey God. And I needed to obey even if I didn't feel like it.
Mm.
I wanted to follow this wonderful Christ who forgave me. That was a big, powerful thing for me because I knew what a great sinner I was. And that weight was taken from me when I received Christ as my Savior. And I wanted to serve this Christ who gave his life for my sin so that I would not have to pay with my life for my own sin.
Betty, why do you think it is today that even within the church, so many people are abandoning their commitments to the Lord, they're abandoning their commitments to one another in marriage, their vows mean almost nothing, it's till unhappiness do us part? Why? What's going on?
Well, it has to do with selfishness, it has to do with sin, of course, but our culture is very unfriendly to the teachings of the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And those figures that you mentioned earlier of divorce in the Church of Jesus Christ trouble me greatly. That shouldn't be happening mm-hmm. if we would be looking at the Word of God and obeying what He says. So I would say the problem is sin, selfishness, the culture, and not obeying the Word of God.
Mm. Paul, Betty says that from the very beginning you indicated that divorce was not an option. Even at a time when you really weren't walking with the Lord, you had this deep abiding conviction that divorce was just not an option, didn't you?
Yes, I did. It was instilled in me from my home life that marriage is for better or for worse.
Mm-hmm.
And divorce is not an option. And even when I walked away from the Lord, which I found out I couldn't do, but when that happened, even then I knew that divorce was wrong and it was not an option for my marriage.
Do you know what, Paul? If we look back historically in American history, except for the last 40 years, if you go beyond the last 40 years, all the way back to 1607, with the Jamestown founding and Plymouth Rock in 1620 and the Puritans in 1630 and so on, you go all the way back to that period and you will not find anywhere where divorce was considered a reasonable option, even among secular people. It was always so seldom, and if indeed somebody did divorce, they were marginalized by the culture. Then all of a sudden came the sexual revolution of the 60s, and life changed dramatically, didn't it, Betty?
Yes,
it did. And I've seen divorced people, and I grieve with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a grieving for me. It's like a death.
Yes.
And I see it in young people in our churches, and it tears me apart. Now, I have come to accept that God does not save every marriage. I thought because he saved mine, and mine was we were in the most horrible pit that I could imagine, and God saved our marriage.
You know what? I want to interrupt you there. It's not God who doesn't save marriages. It's people.
Yes.
People rebel. They're stubborn. They walk in pride, selfishness, and they're going to do what they want to do. It's not God's fault. It's the people's fault, isn't it?
Well, you're absolutely right about that. But I also believe in our marriage. God saved our marriage.
Well,
it was partly my willingness to obey him.
Now there's the secret, you see. God was always wooing. His will was known, but you had to respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people are unwilling to do today. From pulpit to pew, they're unwilling to listen to the voice of the Lord. They're listening to the voice of their feelings, their flesh, and the culture, aren't they?
Yes, that's exactly right. And when I told God that I would stay married because it was the obedient thing to do, I felt at first like I was a martyr.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to be miserable for the rest of my life. But because of that obedience and that will to live in Him and in His Word, He honored our marriage in ways that I can't even begin to explain. He just gave me such a love for this man that He put in my life.
Don't you think that God can do that, Paul, with all of us if we're willing to submit to His will?
I think He can, and I think He wants to.
Was it easy after you got you both came to Christ? Did everything go easy after that?
No.
No, it didn't.
Paul, tell us what it was like then.
You mean after we...
That's correct.
After we gave our hearts to Christ?
Right.
Well, we now had a different purpose in life.
Mm-hmm.
And we had different goals. And now I had a problem with smoking and alcohol, for instance. And the Lord immediately took the alcohol problem from me. But I had the problem with smoking. I knew that I shouldn't be doing it as a testimony for Christ. I wanted to quit, but I couldn't. And it took a long time before the Lord finally gave me victory over that.
Praise the Lord.
And there were other things that came along. We still didn't have a lot of money. The finances were still in bad shape, but the Lord got us through it.
And in another year, then we had another little girl, and our two little girls were very sickly. They had chronic health problems, so that there was a lot of stress there too.
Betty, you call Paul your hero.
He's my hero.
She's my bride.
You know, you're putting by faith God's will, His word, and His ways upon your tongues. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to govern our tongues, it affects our thinking, it affects our way of life, it affects the response patterns. Everything has changed, isn't it, Betty?
Yes, it is. And one of the reasons I call him my hero is because I was very rebellious in those early years. And Paul was so persistent. What he wanted me for, I couldn't give you a clue.
Mm.
Because being around me was not very much fun. I didn't like anything about him. I didn't like anything he did. I didn't like anything he said. I didn't like anywhere he went. And I didn't like him in the house. And it was very unpleasant for him to be in that kind of an environment. But he tried to work on cars or something and stay outside a lot so he wouldn't have to spend a lot of time with me. But he determined that he was going to hang on to whatever there was in this marriage. And for that persistence and that determination in him, I take that as something that was a very strong thing. And I didn't at the time. It really made me angry at the time.
Betty, isn't that really what Christ does
but
with us?
But that's exactly what Christ does.
And that's why the Scripture says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. He persists in that love of wooing and wooing and wooing and wooing and reaching and wooing. And I think that's one of the things that's missing today. We give up all too quickly. And for wives, the Apostle Paul says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as unto the Lord. You do that by faith, friends, not by your feelings, by faith. And you too can call your husband your hero.
That's correct. And he is a picture, and the way he treated me when I was certainly unlovely is exactly what the Scripture says, that Christ loved us when we were unlovely. And that's what Paul did for me.
Well, I just bless the two of you. You know, the prophet Malachi in the last book of the Old Testament, before Christ came on the scene to woo, to prepare the way of the Lord for his coming, said, warned us about our marriages. And he says, you've dealt treacherously with the wife of your youth, the wife of your covenant. Doesn't God seek a godly seed? Therefore, take heed to your spirit. Don't deal treacherously against the wife of your youth. And now that has to be, wives, don't deal treacherously against the wife of the husband of your youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, says he hates putting away. Therefore, take heed to your spirit. You can find it in Malachi chapter 2. Betty, would you wrap us up with a quick word of prayer?
Our Heavenly Father, I pray for these young people and older couples who are listening to this story today. It's not a made-up story. It is by the grace of God that our marriage was saved. And I pray that you'll be touching the hearts of the listeners today, that they will determine to follow Jesus Christ and to obey his word. There is someone right now thinking, if only I could do that. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will give power and conviction to couples right now to obey and to honor the commitment that they made at their marriage ceremony. And may God be blessed forever and ever. In Jesus' name.
Amen, my friends, and a big thank you to Paul and Betty Blyler, the hero couple. One Marriage Under God. Get your copy, your gift of $16, $17 or more to Save America Ministries, or Till Death Do Us Part, your gift of $14. Become a partner with us in this venture as day after day we're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts and guests.